the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bet! Merry March Madness! Brad the Big Noise Evans here, the good Sir Nathaniel Lundy. Tis indeed another Friday episode of the Fade 5 Podcast. And naturally, we already have tickets in hand because we're about to hop aboard the Hong Kong Plus Bus. Plus one or odds are greater. That is the requirement. So, Lundy, give me a smooth ride.
One of my favorite NHL players that is not a member of the Colorado Avalanche is this guy, Leon Draisaitl of your Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton is on the second night of a back-to-back. They lost to New Jersey last night in Jersey. They now turn around and play the New York Islanders. They're just, you know, you're doing the Northeast three-step here between New Jersey, New York Islanders, and New York Rangers. But they lost last night 3-2. They now get ready to take on the Islanders. The Islanders are basically phoning it in here for the rest of the season. We already know that they made some rather substantial trades at the deadline, including sending Brock Nelson here to Denver to the Colorado Avalanche. But, I cannot resist this number. Leon Draisaitl is a plus 145 on BetMGM to have specifically a power play point. Currently sitting at 98 points on the season. Frankly, I think tonight he is going to get two. I think he's going to hit that 100 mark. Nathan MacKinnon of the Avs already hit that earlier. About a week ago, he hit the 100 mark. I think Leon Draisaitl is going to be right behind him here very shortly. But the reason I like the power play, one, seven games here in March so far, and Draisaitl has five power play points in those seven games. But, oh my goodness, are the Islanders bad at the penalty kill. They are the second worst team in the NHL on the PK. The only team that is worse are the Detroit Red Wings. So you put all of that together, and I think Leon is getting larger tonight with a power play point. Give me that at plus 145 at BetMGM.
Oh, I love it. Draisaitl, one of the few hockey names I actually know. Let's go to the Atlantic 10 conference tournament, and I'm going to go with the caca. Oh, those Hawks, the St. Joe's on the money line. Means they got to win straight up against the Dayton Flyers. Have been a bit of a disappointment since a nice little showing they had way back in November in Maui. That's plus 105 there at BetMGM. Again, I'm just a numbers nerd. I'm following the data. I've watched these teams only a handful of times combined the entire year. But you look at St. Joe's over the last month, they're number 70 in Bartorvik. You look at Dayton, they're number 89 in that category. Then you peel back the layers of the onion. St. Joe's, number 28 nationally in effective field goal percentage. Offense are torching that at 56.6% from two, and over 37% from distance. Decent defensively as well, number 72 in EFGD. Where is Dayton in those two categories? 182 in EFG offense, 122 in EFG defense, and most specifically, they're number 333 in the nation in 2-point percentage D. So I think there's going to be a lot of at-the-rim action for those Hawks, and I think their near proximity conversions will be the difference in this game. So give me St. Joe's! I love the mascot constantly flapping. That's heavy shoulder work. Try it for an entire game. That is a requirement if he is anywhere on the floor. And that mascot's got a brand new costume. It looks heavier. So just do it for that guy. Although he's getting good workout. St. Joe's, make us some money. All I got to do is win straight up against the Flyers. Plus 105 there at BetMGM with those bets on the board. Let's get after it with another Friday edition of the Fade 5.
Number 5.
ILL! Naturally, and Lundy's shaking his head. He thinks I'm cray-cray, but I know he's back. They're way back, baby. I'm going to take him on the money line. Yes, they put up 106 points up on the Iowa Hawkeyes last night. And definitely a step up in level and in competition, taking on Maryland, a team that utterly embarrassed and destroyed them in Champaign earlier this season. They won by 21, but the key to that game was Tomislav Ivicic was not in uniform. That's when he started, had ankle issues, the beginning rumblings of mononucleosis as well. He is a key cog of the Illinois offense because he's 7'1", He is a true rim protector. One of the main reasons why Illinois is one of the best power six rebounding teams in the country. A lot of the offense rolls through him into the post, and that is absolutely critical when you have two giants in Jalen Reese and Derek Queen. Queen is a double-doubles machine. Look, I love the Crab Five. Gillespie has stepped up. Miguel has played well. Rice as well. When they shoot the ball better from outside, this is a team that has some Final Four characteristics. But Illinois is humming right now. They've ripped off four consecutive wins. And again, when the threes are falling, and they suddenly have been, this is a team that can definitely compete with anybody really in the country. A little bit of background very quickly, statistically speaking. Yes, Illinois is 328 in EFGD. That is the downside with this team, is actually challenging and contesting shots. They're giving up 38.7% from three and 55.3% from two. But they've been just electric offensively. And you look at Maryland. Maryland scoring has been a bit of a chore. 2 of 7 EFG offense last 30 days. So 19 in EFG defense. Their biggest downside, despite the dynamic duo in the front court, and Queen and Reese, they're only 297 and 2-point percentage offense. So I think Illinois, Will Riley only played 17 minutes in that first game as well. And he is looking like a top 15 NBA draft pick. Coming up this June. So with two NBA first rounders on the Illinois roster, and again, they're firing all cylinders. I-L-L, objectively speaking, on the money line against the Terps, minus 105 at Caesars. Lundy, I already know what you're doing, but fade or follow.
Yeah, I'm fading you on this one. I'm not saying Illinois may not win this game, but that's not how I'm going to play this game, because you can sit back, Brad. You can tell me all you want about the points Illinois scored yesterday. How many did they give up again?
Near 100. It was in the 90s.
Yeah. Let's just remember that. Okay. I don't care. You don't talk about what Maryland is or isn't doing. Illinois might be making some threes, but they're not playing an ass hair's worth of defense right now, Brad. Okay. Right. So here's how I'm going to tell you that I have already bet this game. Look at Nate with a little teaser here. I already put this one together. This is the same game parlay between the Illini and the Terps. Did this at FanDuel, Brad, taking Maryland plus 5.5 and playing the over at 151 and a half. Maryland +5.5 over 151 and a half. Even Steven +100 at FanDuel.
O-I-L-L, make Lundy look like a royal jackass.
Number four.
Numero Quattro here with a Fade 5 countdown. Let's say in Indianapolis to the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And let's work in another bet, shall we? And we're going to do a same game parlay. And boiler up, give me Purdue on the money line. And give me the over the all total at 137.5. That's it. Against the Michigan Wolverines. That shakes out to a pretty juicy and handsome +117 there at Caesars Sportsbook. I'm really digging this line quite a bit because they look at Purdue. Well, you're not talking about an ass hair's worth of defense. They're the epitome of it. Number 341 in EFGD over the last 30 days, but they're number 8 in EFG offense over that span. Strangely, they prefer a slower tempo. They're north of 300 in just a tempo over the last 30 days. But you look at Michigan. This team is a bit of smoke and mirrors, is really kind of the way to best describe them. They're only number 78 in Torvik. In the last month, they're 104 in tempo, prefer a little bit of a brisker pace, but 290 in EFG offense, 115 in EFG defense. May, mid, vanilla, middling. That's what they are. I love Danny Wolf's game. I think Vladislav Golden could be an absolute wrecking ball in this game. He may go for 30 and 15 because you look at Purdue, they're giving up over 60% inside the arc over that last month's span. But with Braden Smith, the Big Ten Player of the Year, and a number of other guys like Fletcher Lawyer can get you buckets from outside. In Michigan, they always like to play these games close. They're going to try to speed up Purdue. Purdue will be a willing runner in this game. And I think they're going to operate rather uninhibitedly, especially on the three-point shot. And turnovers have been a major issue for Michigan. They're coughing it up nearly 20% of their possessions over the last seven games. So to recap, same game parlay, Numero Quattro here on the Fade 5 countdown. And give me Matt Painter's Purdue Boilermakers on the money line. And give me the over on the all total 137.5 against Michigan. A handsome +117 there at Caesars. Lundy, Vader follow.
I like this one a lot. You're doing what I was trying to do with that Maryland-Illinois game, which is find a way to get yourself into plus odds. That's why I didn't go crazy with the one with Illinois. Just keep Maryland to keep it within 5 points. And then I think the total, like, I think they're going to crush the total. So I got to be honest. I think the thing opened at like 153 or 154, and I think it's up to like 158 now between Illinois and Maryland, just because they're expecting those points to continue, which probably means the game's going to be like 49 to 48. But like the way you played this one, smart, like the plus 117, I'm following.
Oh, hammer it home, Purdue Pete. I need another winner.
Number three.
Ah, numero tres here, the Fade 5 countdown, and it's entirely predictable. When you see a hole, what do you do if you're a running back? You ram it! And that's what I'm doing here with CSU Colorado State. I'm going to lay the in Pinto in Vegas against Utah State. You want to burn the midnight oil if you were out east? This is the game for you because it tips off at midnight Eastern time. Literally, midnight Eastern time is glorious. The last game on the docket, so if you're full chase mode, go ahead and wager on Colorado State and try to get some of those losses back with them laying such a small number. Look, I picked Colorado State to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament. I'm going to stick to my guns here. Nico Medved has got his guys playing at an exceptional level. Well, how good over last month? So since Valentine's Day, they're number 11 in all of college basketball and overall efficiency, according to Torvik. They're numero uno in effective field goal percentage offense and a decent number 49 effective field goal percentage defense. How hot have they been? Well, they're shooting over 58% from inside the arc. And again, this number is just wacky. 46.1% outside of it. Nee Clifford is a guy that's just a torrential downpouring at will on teams. He may draw 25 in this game like he's usually been doing here. You also look at CSU, very good on the defensive glass. So they limit teams a lot of one and dones, and you got to do that against Utah State. Utah State also an outstanding offensive team in their own right, number 21 EFG offense, but they're only 164 in EFG defense. And where they really make their hay is generating those second chances. Again, one of the primary strengths of Colorado State is sealing off the glass and limiting those additional opportunities. So put all together, I think CSU is going to win this thing in a nip and tuck affair. And they're eventually going to cut down the nets there in Las Vegas. So in the Mountain West Conference Tournament semifinal matchup, ram it home with Colorado State minus one against Utah State. Minus 110 at DraftKings and Lundy. Later, follow.
Brad. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Over at BetMGM right now, it's flipped. CSU's getting a point and a half.
Idiotic.
They're minus 105 straight on the money line. So I would tell you, folks, depending upon how these lines are going to move over the course of the next few hours. And obviously, as Brad said, this is a late night tip. This is, I mean, it's 10 o'clock for me in the mountain time zone, for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, the Rams fans have got to stay up really late for this one. And you know full well it's not going to tip off on time either. But if you like this, and I do too, I CSU was my pick to take the Mountain West. It was Brad's pick to take the Mountain West. I just think the way Medved's got them playing right now is red hot. And if anybody from the state of Colorado is going to wind up making it into the dance, the only team with a shot here are the Rams. So put all of that together. But as Brad's got it right here, you're talking about, you know, laying a point with CSU at a minus 110. But right now, straight on the money line at BetMGM as of tape time, it's minus 105 because the line has flipped and CSU is catching a point and a half. So if you like them on the money line, just like we do, then I would say go and just take them straight on the money line at BetMGM. Get yourself a nice extra 5 cents a pay.
All right. You want some more cray-cray action? Like that line flippage in Colorado State? Go to thegamingjuice.com right now, you jackals. It's 100% free. I'm cranking out all kinds of content. Of course, my bracket big board, which I'm updating multiple times per day, lives there. Who's in? Who's out? Where's your favorite team seated right now? And what maybe will the market allow? You could take some advantage of some of those futures markets if they do resurface of the teams that are either on the bubble or off of it. Just check out my bracket big board right and now. On top of that, I'm going to be cranking out a game pick on Colorado State and Utah State. More gory detail a little bit later on. If I wasn't convincing enough through the audible word, that'll be posted. We have all kinds of additional action. coming down the chute in preparation for the madness. So go to thegamingjuice.com right now. Check out Lundy's free NHL pick spreadsheet as well. If you're dropping the puck and looking to make some bucks, Brandon Belaski churning out some NHL content on top of that. We got it all. And again, I don't charge you a thing. I'm a man of the people. So was Lundy. Go to thegamingjuice.com. Click. Converse and cash. Maybe.
Number two.
All right, numero dos here on the Fade 5 Countdown. This line has moved. Opened at 7.5. I actually grabbed it at that last night because I couldn't believe it was this high, and it's down to 6.5, and I would still play it with BYU taking on the Houston Cougars, the Battle of the Cougars, actually. And I'm going to go with Cosmo. In this affair, Juwan Roberts, we'll see if he's going to play. Suffered an injury yesterday, and it's looking like he is going to be highly doubtful. It's entirely possible Kelvin Sampson actually takes his foot off the gas with his club to make sure they get healthy and right, because they're locked into a number one seed come Selection Sunday. Big reason why I like BYU. I was a backer, a little sprinkling of them to win the Big 12 Conference Tournament at 10-1, and certainly love that they're catching 6.5 points. There against H-Town in this matchup. You look at BYU, they're numero dos. Yes, number two in the country in Torvik overall in the last 30 days. That's the entire slate of college basketball teams. Number three in EFG offense, where they're hitting 61.6% from two, 39.6% from three. They're improving defensively at 139 in EFG. They only give it up 49.5% from two, right around 33% from three. Their biggest issue is turnovers. They're number 214 in offensive turnover rate. They got to minimize that against one of the best pressure defenses in college basketball and LJ Cryer and company. Houston, number three in Torvik, so just slightly lower over the last 30 days. Of course, it's a contrasted style. BYU wants to run. Houston wants to grind out in the half court. They're number 350 are the Houston Cougars in adjusted tempo. They're also 125 EFG offense, but 13 in EFG defense over the last 30 days. So if they only turn over the rock about a dozen times or fewer, I think BYU, given their ability to splishy and splash, Richie Saunders and friends, they're going to stay white hot, man. They've ripped off, I think, now 8 games in a row, and a number of those have come against ranked opponents. I may even sprinkle a little action on them to win outright. So BYU, make me some bank! +6.5 against Houston, -102. Lighter juice here at FanDuel. Lundy, fair to follow.
Yeah, I like the juice that you got at FanDuel. I like the 6.5, but here's I was going to save this for bonus time, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there. If you haven't gone over to FanDuel yet today, they are offering you a 30% boost on any underdog.
Oh my God, yes. Can I play to this?
Yes, you can. So for example, I'm looking at it right now. If I snag BYU, which at the standard is a +230, by applying that 30% boost that FanDuel's offering us here this morning, it bumps it up to +300. Mm. So again, if Kelvin Sampson says, hey man, you know, kind of exactly what Shire is doing with Duke, which is just like, hey man, this tournament doesn't matter. The big tournament is the one that matters. I'm going to make sure my guys are healthy. We've talked about that. Everybody was talking about it last night with Cooper Flagg. You could do the same thing with some of the injuries that Houston is dealing with, and you could wind up seeing BYU advance. Again, the BYU Cougars have been playing very well. So is Houston, but this is all about what happens next weekend, not what happens this weekend. So +300 with that boost for FanDuel. Not bad.
Not too shabby. Great call there, mi amigo. BYU, do it again.
Number one.
All right, numero uno here on the Fade 5 Countdown. Guns up, baby. It's all about Texas Tech. The fighting Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to lay the 2.5, taking on Arizona. Condolences to Mrs. Lundy on the Kansas Jayhawks. Been a rough year. I mean, Hunter Dickinson had a game. Guards, a couple of them actually showed up. Zeke Mayo had a decent game. Dewan Harris had a decent game. But everybody else there in the middle, I'm looking at you, KJ Adams, just continue to ride there on the struggle bus. So their bounce on the tournament going to likely be on the 8 line, maybe as high as a 7 at most come Sunday. But anyway, I digress on Texas Tech. I think they will cover and take care of business against Arizona. It's why it's my top play. They got the best player on the floor. His name is JT Toppin. The guy is an absolute bucket, an absolute wagon. And with Chance McMillan and Williams and some of the ancillary players around him, they're a well-oiled machine. Grant McCausland's got quite the squad. I think they got a Final Four upside to them, maybe driving down from Lubbock to good old San Antonio and representing there in Alamo Land. But they're going to get one step closer tonight to maybe earning the at-large or automatic berth, I should say. They're the Big 12 Conference Tournament. They're number six in the country. And according to Torvik's advanced analytics over the last 30 days, 85 EFG offense, 45 in EFG defense. That offense from three has been prolific. They're netting 38.1% from three. But get this, Lundy, 55.3% of their shots, over half are coming from beyond the arc, and they're hitting at a 38% clip. Madness, absolute madness. And you look at Arizona, a team that's number 333 in three-point percentage D. Do I need to give you any more reasons? No, I'll just stop there. Texas Tech whips them. I think they're going to be kicking some butt. They're going to take down AZ tonight. Give me the Red Raiders. Guns up, minus 2.5. JT Toppin, what a man. What a stellar player. What a dude. What do you say, fade or follow?
I'll follow you on this one. I like what the Red Raiders are doing. I'll go ahead and roll. I think Arizona got their win last night over Kansas. I know that had to feel good, especially after losing at Allen Fieldhouse this past weekend. Don't worry about my wife, man. She knows what this team is this year. It's okay. It doesn't mean she's not going to have Kansas in her bracket, because that's what she does. She always picks them. But she's well aware of what this team is. Trust me.
Oh, condolences. Lundy's significant other. It's been rough. But you know what? I know your wife loves to gamble. So let's give her some bonus time. Bonus time action. She's got to recuperate units lost at her beloved Kansas Jayhawks. So Lundy, whether we're dropping the puck and making some bucks in the NHL, whether you're dabbling in the NBA, maybe some other markets, maybe some additional college hoops, what do you got?
Let me roll with a couple of things. One, I really like Clemson just straight on the money line coming up later this afternoon. I would take Clemson straight money line. It's minus 120. So if you want to pair that up with something, you probably could get yourself closer to you could wind up getting yourself closer to even odds. Let me give you an example. If you take Tennessee on the money line to beat Texas and then Clemson on the money line, that'll put you at a plus 116 over at BetMGM. So I think Tennessee should be able to take care of Texas. Wouldn't surprise me for Tennessee to win by double figures, I got to be honest. So with that in mind, I like Clemson, but if you don't like it by itself at a minus 120, if you don't like paying the juice, go grab somebody that's a heavy favorite on the line, like a Tennessee. You'll get yourself up into plus odds. If I'm not mistaken, Brad, on the NBA side of things, oh, yes, we're going to the senior circuit. I think the Cavs have won something like 9 or 10 in a row on the road.
Wow. Like,
it's something crazy in terms of what Cleveland has been doing so far on the road, and they are headed to take on Memphis. And Cleveland on the money line, minus 140. They're favored by 2.5 points, but this team is just cruising right now. And I think, make sure you're checking the various socials and the news channels. I think Donovan Mitchell's back tonight for them as they head to the land of the blues and the barbecue there in Memphis. So if that happens, I definitely like Cleveland on the money line, minus 140, because that team is just cruising right now in the NBA. Back over to the ice. Give me just a straight two-leg money line play. Give me Colorado on the road. Give me Carolina at home against the Detroit Red Wings. So if the Canes, Carolina Hurricanes can win, if Colorado can get it done against Calgary, again, Colorado had won six in a row. They swept their homestand that they had here in Denver, then went on the road, lost in a shootout to Minnesota earlier this week. They've had 2 days off to get ready for Calgary. And I think that Colorado will pick up the victory. So if Colorado can win and Carolina can win, you're paying a little bit of juice, but I can stand it. It's minus 104 if you build that one over at Caesars. And speaking of Colorado and Calgary, give me the over in that contest. at 5.5. Play the over on that one, -122 over at DraftKings as the automatic motion lights go off. That's my signal to yield the floor to the fine gentleman from Illinois.
All right, Team Weibo's parlay play of the day time. Some a little two-legger, of course, in college basketball. Give me Alabama at a game, maybe first to 250 wins against Kentucky. I'll take that. Again, straight up on the money line with Roll Tide. And give me Boise State in a must-win situation, taking on New Mexico, the semifinals of the Mountain West Conference, on an alt line of +5.5. That checks out to just a cool +104 at DraftKings. But again, we're trying to build winners, not take victory laps there on social media. Why do I like this? Well, look at Alabama. Number 9 versus number 14 at Torvik in that matchup against Kentucky. Alabama, 56.9%, they are netting inside the arc. And why is that key? Well, you look at Kentucky, they're 292 in effective field goal percentage defense, at 243 in two-point percentage D, giving up 57.1% around the rim. I think it's going to be a Grant Nelson game. He was in a major funk toward the end of the season, really snapped out of it the last couple of games. I mean, he could show up and show out and go for like 20. Mark Sears to really beat him off the bounce, also drain like 35-foot threes that he loves to take. That is the key for Alabama. It's a three-point shot. Around 46% of their shots are coming from beyond the arc, where they're hitting 37.3% over the last 30 days. There's not going to be any defense played in this game, maybe on either side. I know Kentucky, they got some bucket getters in their own right. But I tell you what, I think Alabama's just a better squad. And Lamont Butler, he got that shoulder re-injured last night. I don't think he's going to be on the floor. And if their floor general is sidelined, Bama could absolutely roll tide. So to recap, Alabama, that first leg there on the money line. And Boise, near equals New Mexico. Actually, they're playing a little bit better than them, according to Torvik, over the last 30 days, 57-60. Fabulous rebounding team because of Deegan Hart. They're 73 in offensive rebounding in the country over the last 30 days. Number 6 in defensive rebounding percentage. Over 48% of their shots are coming from 3. New Mexico just 199 in three-point percentage D. I know Younger Patino is having a hell of a year, but they may win ultimately, but Boise, again, has got to get another quadrant one solidify their stance in the selection committee room as a potential at-large bid come Sunday. So to recap, two-legger Team Weibo's parlay play of the day, and it's more team races, but I don't give a damn. Alabama money line, Boise +5.5, +104 there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Elsewhere, bonus time! I'm probably not going to give any reasoning, honestly, for any of these. I'm just going to fire them off. I'll do another two-legger in college basketball on the evening/late-night tip. Moneyline. Two-leg moneyline parlay. UConn to score the victory against Creighton. Creighton has just not looked great. I know Ryan Kalkbrenner is a scorer extraordinaire, but Stephen Ashworth is who they live and die by, and he has been ice cold here down the stretch. And UConn really kills you on the glass. They've been outstanding as well from distance. So UConn on the money line, mush Huskies mush, and then I'm going to match that with GCU, Grand Canyon, on the money line, taking on Cal Baptist. Baptist 2-8 in Torvik the last 30 days. Grand Canyon, number 83. Contrast in styles here. GCU's got to speed them up. So UConn money line, GCU money line. That's awesome. +113. Maybe I should have featured that in the Team Weibo's parlay play of the day. They're at BetMGM. And one more I'll throw it out to in the futures market. Cornell to win the Geek League, also known as the Ivy. You can still get that right now before those games tip at BetMGM +275. They're far and away the best offensive team in that league. Yale is the prohibitive favorite because they're better defensively. But Cornell, if they could tickle the twine, they could beat anybody in the Ivy. So good value there at +275. All right. I am out of breath, and we are out of time here on the Feed 5 Podcast. Do us a favor, would you kindly drop us a rating and a review at your convenience. Also, feed or follow us on the X. Lundy always giving it to you there, at Nate Lundy. I'm doing the same, at Noisy Huevos. Of the Illini-hating Nate Lundy, I'm Brad Evans. Until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you. I am.